Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Osiris spindle. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
Were you happy that I picked something that...
And this is...
Time Pop!
80 episodes in, and it's still hard to synchronize that stuff, folks. We'll get it.
I've given up.
We're going to bring Paul Abdul on to help us with our voice choreography.
So are you proud of me, Ari, for picking something that makes sense for time travel?
Makes sense for time travel? What do you mean?
Osiris.
My reference, my opening reference.
Oh, you're constant. Yes. Yes, that was the perfect one.
I didn't pick Double Dragon or whatever that whiskey, whatever that Japanese liquor they were drinking.
Oh, yeah.
So that today in the present, we will be discussing Boss Level from the past, and you will listen to it in the future, which is now.
Ayo.
Boss Level 2020, rated TV mature. 100 minutes, directed by Joe Carnahan, the great Joe Carnahan, starring Frank Grillo, Mel Gibson, Naomi Watts, Will Sasso, Michelle Yao, and some other people. Oh, and Ken Jeong.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Who was Pam? Where do I know Pam from?
Which one was Pam?
She was the one in the sunroof with the rocket launcher.
Oh, the redhead?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen her before.
Yeah, she did seem familiar.
She must look like someone, because I even looked her up and gave a quick glance and nothing stood out to me, but I was hoping you guys might know where I know that smile from.
Creepy.
So was this filmed in Australia?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, wait. That's my spelling. And see that it was released in Australia. Oh, wait, Los Angeles and Australia.
I was going to say, I think I saw all Los Angeles plates, which doesn't mean anything, but there's no reason for it to be set in LA. So if it was made in Australia, I don't know why they'd have to make that change.
Took place in Atlanta.
There were like four Australian people in it. Is that right?
Yeah, but it was filmed in Atlanta.
Oh, that's cool.
Interesting. They just like Australians.
There were probably more than that. I'm sure some of the people didn't have talking words, talking line.
Australians had no regard for COVID-19, so they were easy to work with.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, this is a loop movie, a day in the life movie, action, day in the life, survival movie. What did you think?
It reminded me of Edge of Tomorrow. To me, this is like starting a whole new kind of category. I call them video game movies.
Yeah.
So it's like a video game. It's like Edge of Tomorrow. I thought it was very entertaining.
It was very cool. I like how they just leaned into the video game aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And they started off like there's no warm up. There's no like, here's the bad guy. And so just like it starts off right in the action. He's already been looping deep in it. Voiceover super quick.
Yeah. And we get to see him as a master of his day, just walking through bullets flying and knowing what all the bad guys are doing.
And then you uncover the mystery as it goes. You know, at first you just know he's looping. You don't know why. And then you're discovering it with him over time.
Yeah. Yeah. When we meet him. Yeah. It's a total mystery. And he is just basically at this point, he's spending most of his days surviving to the bar and getting drunk before dying in a hail of bullets, which is Scott knows from Apocalypse Now is how I would go about if I knew the end of the if I knew the end of the world was coming. That's how I'd go out. Just
getting drunk.
Just get fucked up and let it happen. What am I going to do? Stop the end of the world? Fuck that.
Just enjoy it.
Exactly.
How many different versions of your day can you do? But yeah, he has to, how can he make it through the day without getting caught by the all the assassins?
Yeah, and that's when we find him. What's his, I forget what his inciting incident is to finally get past the bar.
It's usually the son, right? Something to do with his son. Oh no, he finds out about the tooth. He finds out how they've been following him.
Well, he starts to get more memories. He's kind of like, you know, this is all just happening so fast to him, and he's spending so much of his energy just surviving until he can't anymore. And then now that he's been doing it so long, he's kind of starting to remember the previous day. Then he kind of remembers a few things his wife told him the day before.
So can I ask a question about like the sequence of things?
Yes.
Instead of just kind of going over what happened in the movie. So from what it showed us, it said that part where it said, he said yesterday was ages ago for him. Right, because he's been doing it so long. And then they flash back to yesterday, and it was him showing up at the lab, right, of his ex-wife, and with his resume, thinking, you know, she's going to hire him as some sort of like military security or something. You learn about their history and stuff. And then it shows him at the bar. Well, it shows her doing some science, like talking to Mel Gibson. And then it shows him at the bar with the blonde,
the dental hygienist.
Then it shows her back at the lab, like scraping his hair into like some petri dish, right? And then the Mel Gibson character concerned and saying, oh, she's up to something, you know, go get her. And then she's running around in the lab. And then it shows him back at the house getting it on with the dental hygienist. So my question is, did he go to the dentist after he dropped off his resume?
That's what I'm wondering too, because if it was ordered to be put in him by Mel Gibson, and Mel Gibson didn't seem to have much beef with him before
he met him
that day.
Yeah.
Then
so it had to have been, right? Like, otherwise if they had put the tracker in his tooth earlier, this whole thing doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. So you must be right. And it's weird that they don't, I mean, I guess we're just supposed to put it together like we just did, but it seems weird that they're like, when they're at the bar getting drunk or something, that they don't mention like, he just came into my office today and I fell in love with him or blah, 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 you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's weird that
he gets drunk with her at the bar and then they go to the dentist office.
No,
the dentist office.
He picked her up at the dentist office. She was in on it, right? And then she went with him to the bar, got drunk, and then went home with him, which you would think that like a special agent wouldn't do that. They've already implanted the tracker. What does she need to like? Although they never slept together.
They did.
I don't know if you noticed. They just like drunkenly fell into bed and then rolled over and went to sleep.
Well, she might have drugged him. So she, yeah.
Which also makes sense why. It's so, I mean, they're not after her, so there's no reason for them to kill her. But also, you know, she just disappears. You know, the first machete chop goes, she screams and runs, and that's the last we hear of her. So it makes that make sense, too.
So can we get into the machine?
I say yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the good stuff. Let's get into it.
It's a pretty vague machine.
So the wife, when he's there dropping off his resume, she gets a night, not only a chunk of his hair, but makes sure and cuts it close to get some blood as well. So she has blood and DNA samples of him.
Of him.
Yes. Of Roy.
Yeah, of Roy, the main guy. She puts it in a cylinder and then puts it in the machine.
Yes.
And he's in the spindle.
And he doesn't, like, when besides getting his DNA, like, he doesn't, nothing seems to happen at the office that would incorporate his physical body with this time machine.
Right.
Just his DNA.
Right. So she must have programmed the machine or done something for the machine to tap into him genetically.
Yes. Yep.
And when she...
The universe to tap into him.
So the machine now controls, it essentially has to be all of time. So the entire universe is repeating itself every time the machine senses that the DNA of this man's, the origin of the DNA of this man, the life force dies. And then it is able to turn back time to however long it needs to be to a very
to reset,
a very specific time, and he has memories of everything that's already happened.
So does she turn it on at 7 a.m.?
She must, right?
She, I didn't think about that till right now. I kept thinking she did it later.
She died shortly after, right? She died at 7:14.
Because he calls her to the office at 7 and pretty much kills her right away.
Yeah, that's a good point. When did she turn the machine on? When does the reset start?
Maybe she could have preset it like a VCR timer. Or it was right before she was killed. He calls for her, she sets it, and then goes. Because she's killed 14 minutes after 7 a.m.
My problem, so many movies do this. People needing to be superheroes when they're super hungover. Because assuming every day he wakes up from drinking the night before.
Or being drugged, yeah.
Or being drugged.
That's part of the hero's journey.
Yeah, but he's super ripped. Look at him. He can do it.
Obviously.
Delta Force.
That's all you need. You just need muscles. It helps with metabolizing, I don't know. Something.
They teach Delta Force people how to deal with that.
So you're saying if I get a six pack, I can drink again and I'll be fine.
Yeah, and then you can get up in the morning and like run a marathon.
Like She-Hulk, just metabolized to freedom in mere moments.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is another great example of a lot of science and then no science. Like they introduce a
Oh my God, no, I have so many issues with the science of this.
But they introduce a cool, like, there is no reason for there to be a machine. Like, this device could have lived in a computer.
Yeah.
And just been an algorithm or something. There didn't need to be a jumbo jet sized.
Yeah. No, with a cylinder.
If you think about how much power would be required to turn back time of the entire universe, Desmond.
But that wouldn't need something that someone could, you're right, it could be big, but it wouldn't need to be step, I mean, at the end, he does step into it for.
Yeah, no, why then does he have to step into it? But in the beginning, he doesn't have to.
But this could have all been computer power and not something you needed to step into.
No, the look of the machine, I personally liked. I just didn't like the science of it.
I did too. If she had turned it on when he was there. Or something, and the machine, like, hey, she was like, hey, come step over here for a second. I need to, you know, I need someone I need someone of your height to calibrate my machine or something. But the fact that machine ultimately had nothing to do with starting this time travel loop.
What? The machine absolutely had to do with starting the time
travel loop. But not for it to be man-sized. There was no reason for it to be a hallway. It could have been a big machine. But it was the computing power of the machine that started the time travel, not the fact that it was big enough for someone to step into and time travel.
Right.
I don't know. I got it.
I just, yeah, the whole remote nature of putting the hair in a thing and all time based on this one man, it was much more believable in Edge of Tomorrow when it was specifically like the alien, was it the blood?
Aliens could just do
right,
it.
Right, to that one that he got. So this was... It's harder to take without anything that he realized or anything activating, but yeah.
What was the initial function of this machine? Was Mel Gibson going to use it to relive a day over and over again? And
they never told us.
Become king? Like, he was definitely going to use it to rule the world somehow.
Yeah.
But by going to specific places in time, or did they build it for a loop?
No, they never told us. They weren't specific.
Okay.
She just said it could... blow up the universe if used incorrectly.
So was he just going to use it Bond villain style and just hold the world at ransom?
Totally a Bond villain.
So by the end of it, the timeline is he wakes up, he survives. So there's seven, one, two, three, four, five. I think there's seven assassins out to kill him. And we show different montages of different, you know, for the first however many times, probably the guy with the machete who wakes him up just kills him. And then after that, a helicopter pulls up next to his apartment complex and blasts him with a machine gun. And then if he makes it out of that, then two women chase him in a car. And then if he makes it out of that, there's a little person full of explosives that finds him and blows him up. And then if he survives that, Then a psycho with a harpoon attached to his Bronco shoots him and drags him through the street. And then if he survives that, someone who looks like him, he's dubbed Roy number two. There's Pam, Smiley, Kaboom is the little guy. Smiley is the harpoon guy. Pam is in the car. Oh, the German twins. There's the two German twins that find him. And then there's Roy,
sword,
number two.
Sword lady.
And then Guan Yin was here, the sword lady. So some days he makes it farther than others, but eventually one or all of those people get him. And then he finally figures out that there is a tracking device, because he finally realizes, oh, that's right. He goes and visits his son. He doesn't go to visit his son. What is he? He just decides to go get something to eat instead of go to the bar one day.
I think it's after he goes further and tries to kill the baddies and he finds out they were going after the son. And that's what made him feel like he should protect him.
Yeah. But then he leaves when he walks out of the arcade, the esports pop-up competition. There's someone waiting for him right there. And that's when he realizes he's being tracked.
Right.
And so the next day he goes to the bar. He gets really drunk. And starts, well, conveniently, there's a guy at the bar that's really annoyed him for the past 150 days. And that guy is a surveillance expert. And so he leads him to his teeth. And so he drinks a bunch of liquor and starts yanking teeth out of his mouth. And he finds one with a tracker. And so now every day, that's the first thing he does is gets drunk, pulls his tooth out. And now he has a little bit more time.
Right.
To figure things out. And he spends a lot of that time once he realizes he can just, whoa, that's right. Because so then he finally lives long enough to see the end of the world. He realizes if these people don't kill him, then the universe explodes at 7 p.m. or something. So now he knows his real mission, or not, he doesn't know the real mission. He just spends a bunch of time hanging out with his son until the end of the world. He does that for a couple days, and then he decides he's going to infiltrate the bad guy's office and go get him.
Well, his son let him know that when he heard from his mother, so he knew she was alive that morning.
That's right. It is the son who tips him off that his mom called him that morning, so he knows that his mom is alive. And so that's when he breaks into the lair and finds out that mom lived till 7:14, and then that's when he realizes he has 14 minutes from when he wakes up to go save the mom.
That was the biggest stretch for me personally, because he's got to get through his morning battle, which I guess he's doing in 4 minutes at best, which would be pretty impressive. Then the helicopter's got to take him across town. And then he still takes his time walking up the building, getting through there to get to her. 14 minutes, that's pretty short for all the things he's trying to achieve. But whatever, it's time travel.
The helicopter helps.
Maybe the helicopter just went around the corner and then it was there.
Landing, yeah, on the top floor of the building.
What threw me off about this is, and this is an easy fix. There's no reason he has to do this in 250 days when he becomes a blade master in 50 days.
Yeah.
And not just like decent with a sword.
Taking down one of the best.
Being able to take down the goddess of the blade. That's an easy, there's no reason they can't just be like, I spent 2 years doing this. Like, you know.
And how do you learn again? Remind me how he...
The lady in the bar.
He learned from the lady in the bar. Yeah, yeah.
The bartender, every time he'd gone to the bar, the bartender would say, do you know who that is? That's blah, 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 the greatest sword master and all this. And so then one day he goes over and just says, like, teach me. She says, I got to leave town tomorrow. He says, that works for me.
Wow. So this bar comes in really handy. This bar provides you with a tech security specialist and a master sword fighter. This bar is the epicenter for everything you need.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
It's the center of the universe, man.
Yeah, apparently. Always at the bar. And then, but he gets time to bond with his son.
Yeah,
his
I like
classic storyline.
It has heart. You know, it's like, gets to reconnect with his son.
Yeah, I forgot it had heart. I was having so much fun with the first half of this movie. I was like, oh yeah, this is just a nonstop thrill ride. Like, this might be the first time travel movie that where love isn't the answer. And I was wrong.
All about love.
Love was the answer. So when he finally remembered the day before, when he's in the office with his ex-wife, she said, did you get my birthday, the birthday present I sent you? And he's like, I don't know, maybe it showed up. She goes, please go find it. So the next morning when he wakes up again, or that morning when he wakes up again, he gets it. And it's a story of Iset and Osiris.
Like the god of resurrection?
I looked up the actual Isis and Osiris, and that made it more confusing.
His brother Set cut him into pieces, and after killing him, Isis's wife found the pieces, wrapped his body, enabling him to return to life. And this, they say, god of the afterlife.
Osiris, god of the deceased.
It's all just a dream.
Osiris and Isis were deeply in love with each other, even in the womb. They are what held the universe together, or something like that. So, yeah, I don't really understand how he garners much information from this, but he realizes that he's Osiris, and he is the answer to the end of the universe, and he's got to do it. So he does get to his wife. Oh, that's right, because he gets to the office so early, the henchmen don't have time to go out to the city, so he's able to kill all of them right there. So he knows his son is safe because the henchmen can't go find him. And then he saves his wife, kills Brett. What's his name? Will Sasso. I liked the Will Sasso death.
Where he was like flailing around with the sword in his head.
Yeah. I smell muffins. Does anyone else smell muffins?
That's perfect.
That was so great. That was a fun, that was a cool, I'd like to see more Will Sasso in pseudo-serious roles. I thought he did really well.
He looks huge.
Yeah, he is. So he saves his wife, and then he steps into the machine, because basically the end of the universe is happening because
of the time loop, right? It's destroying kind of the space-time continuum.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It like turns off the machine when he steps into it.
Yeah.
But it's just enough for him to have to do that day over again, but it's the real day and you can't die.
Yeah. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. It resets it.
Do we see the machete in the last scene?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we do.
So he steps into the machine, essentially, I'm guessing, to turn it off. He dies while doing that, but then it's, the machine is off.
It brings balance, right? And then
so now he's got to live his day like a regular person.
But he's got to not die.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got to do everything. He's got to
do everything perfect.
He's got to save his wife again. He's got to, the boss level.
Oh, yeah. It's always so funny when they say their title in a dramatic way at some point in the movie. Oh, this is the boss level.
The boss level.
And then he did it and he lives a perfect. When the ending came, I it did one of the, oh, you could end it on that.
Yeah, I didn't like the ending.
Oh, you're not going to show the thing in Madugar? Okay, fine.
Yeah, it seems like, and I guess they couldn't have because he had to survive to get into the machine. Yeah, it would have been cool if we had somehow seen the last day instead of the day before.
Yeah.
Or if he had done something different, like...
Yeah, like tried to dodge something, but realized it was like, you know, the woman was sleeping next to him, just kind of like did a rollover slap instead of a machete or something. And just, yeah, something should have been different for him to have to live that exact same day over again. I don't think the machine did its job.
I don't understand why the Naomi Watts' character, the scientist lady, turned on the machine. So she knew this machine was bad. She said if it was used incorrectly, it can blow up the world. And then she turned it on, obviously used it incorrectly, and essentially blew up the world.
Yeah, or I mean, I think she might have been worried about like as soon as you turn it on, like you press the button and it's gone.
She's worried he was going to use it for his own means or that it might destroy the world. But yeah, she, by her allowing our hero to do it, it is going to destroy the world.
But
she's hoping he'll solve it and then kill her boss, I guess.
Yeah. And let's say this time machine, you put your DNA in the time machine and you turn it on. And so it's calibrated to you. And if you die, you get to go back to a certain date. How is that useful for like a supervillain?
You can fix the day. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, if you can reset it then to continue the day, which they did.
Well, assuming that the supervillain isn't reliving the most horrible day of his life, the supervillain can just relive a day, make an investment, in the stock market and then get in the machine I guess if you do it the way the movie did it, put his DNA in the machine, start it, live a day, get into the machine, and then relive a normal day. Again, he doesn't have 9 assassins chasing him. So he just goes and bets on Wall Street, and then everything's great.
I mean, you can find out information in all those days.
Yeah.
Or just live like a god with no responsibility.
Or it can also go the other direction.
Which is what?
Yeah, well, maybe you put your DNA in and maybe it can go back in time. And then if you die, you get to go back to the present. Because it can obviously turn time back, right? You lived a certain amount of time and it turned time back. So this machine can definitely turn time back. So maybe if she just put in a different algorithm, a different bunch of code, it could turn time back. If you were calibrated and you would remember somehow go with it back, you know, maybe.
I don't think it was working the way Mel Gibson had hoped it was going to work.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's what I'm realizing right now. I have this conversation. I have no idea what the original intention of this machine was.
Yeah, they never told us.
Yeah.
And why, when he was visiting, why be so vague? She already spilled enough that they were watching her and it already kind of did her under. Why not just tell him exactly what she's planning for him? Or tell him then, and maybe he can, he's a Delta Force guy. He can get her out of there, fight the guys, kill him, and she could just live.
Well, she can't say too much in the office because she knows her office is bugged.
She said enough anyway that like they knew she was, they had to kill her regardless. She was already incriminating enough.
Well, I think she knew shit was going down. I think she knew she had to do something big now.
You know what I think? I think she realized what a dangerous thing she had created right around the time of this movie. And I think she knew she had to destroy the machine. So she did something drastic by using it incorrectly, but making sure that someone was always going to be able to get there in time to destroy it. I'm guessing that by him doing this, it destroyed the machine. I bet you she knew how dangerous this was. Didn't know what he was going to do with it, but just realized that it was bad news bears and needed to be destroyed. And so that's why she did this.
Because that's right. He gets really mad at her. She goes to his office right after she talks to him. And he's just like, why isn't it ready? And she's just like, because it's fucking not. And he gets really mad at her.
Yeah.
And realizes that she's in, you know, this guy isn't just going to fire her. He can't just put her out on the street with the information she has. So, yeah, you're right. I think you're right, Ari. Like, pretty much within a few hours, she realized this had reached a serious point. And she knew that we know that, too, because their son says, you know, mom talks about, you know, what a badass you are, basically. So she knows if there's any man for the job, he's the one.
Just have her sign an NDA.
Yeah.
And you're clear.
You're not the killer.
Yeah, get your lawyers on her. Stupid.
But it's definitely weird that like she didn't know. I mean, who knows when she mentioned it? This guy definitely is not, you know, working on a very quick time scale when she said, like, hey, you should bring in a resume at some point. Like, at some point she thought it was just a bunch of science and they could work together and blah blah blah. And then sometime between when she told him to stop by and when he actually stopped by, things had escalated to a pretty serious situation. Oh, just don't die this time. 250 tries. That's such an easy fix. I'm sorry, I'm gonna really harp on that. Is this movie, I mean, I guess that just, they're trying to show of what a real fucking badass he really is.
Delta Force.
Well, and especially if it's 250 hard tries to get to the boss level and beat this game, maybe. But he wastes 100 days just getting drunk and shot in the head. So
yeah, we're getting to a point. The Looper film is pretty, we could have its own podcast now.
Time loop.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't play video games, I still appreciate these kind of movies, you know, where you get to do things over. And there were some fun action scenes involved. But as someone who is a video gamer, do you really like these kind of movies?
I do, especially this one that's so like a video game in that, because the whole point to a video game, and I've been trying to explain this to my son, is to die and learn from it. You know, the point of a video game isn't to just start playing and just kind of meander your way through nice and slow and beat it and it's not hard. It's to learn from your deaths. And so this is a perfect representation of that. And it's really cool, too. We didn't really point out just how, like, precise his movements are in the morning. Like, he's, like, taking sips of coffee in between punching these guys in the face because he's so, so bored with it. And that's the thing, too. Like, in games where you have to go all the way back to the beginning, you get so good at it. And then you hit that point that's just impossible. All the way back to the fucking beginning. You're just like, ah, this fucking guy again. Punch, kick, block. Got it. Next guy.
Yeah, you're like, where's the save button?
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to the point where you're just like, oh, I hate this guy. If I could just save right here and just fight this guy. But I'm so goddamn tired by the time I get here. It's very cool.
What's your favorite of the loop films?
I mean, there's the video game loop films? Or
no,
only
just
two?
No, just any time loop film.
Oh.
I think Edge of Tomorrow is probably mine.
Yeah, to me, these are very specific type. Like, Groundhog Day, the original loop, time loop, you know, is very different than this. Even all the other...
But he does the same thing, like mastering, like robbing the bank truck. When he's just like, 1, 2, 3, she drops the quarters. 4, 5, 6, Hank steps out of the car. 7, 8, snatch. Just, oh, the fucking... We kind of pointed it out on the last episode, but this time it really, like, I think one of the biggest time travel tropes of all of these movies ever is the busboy dropping dishes.
Yeah.
When else does that happen?
We get it in Groundhog Day. We got it in our movie last week. I can't remember what we did last week. There's just so many times they're having a conversation. I think it happens in Looper too, when they're like,
yeah,
sitting at a bar and it's just like, wait a minute, crash. And then you see it from a different angle. And yeah, 41. That's what we did last time. We hear the dishes crash when he's in the restaurant with the girl. And then we hear the dishes crash when he's talking to the crazy guy. And just, yeah, it's such a, cause it's so innocuous. You know, we've seen it so many times, but you still, they're in a restaurant, you hear dishes crash, it's like, yeah, dishes fall in a restaurant, whatever. And then we see it from a different angle a half hour later, like, oh, he tripped him, or something like that. Yeah, and this one wasn't like that. This one was just him laughing, because fucking every day at 7:45, the dishes fall. Could warn him, but this is one of my favorite parts of the day before I die.
The alarm clock morning is probably another trope.
So I'm trying to figure out how to ask the question.
Yeah. Would you choose to do a one day loop if you could get out of it? Like, there's benefits to repeating a day.
Yeah.
Was that the map of Tiny Perfect Things that looped also?
Yeah.
They tried to see like all the things you could see in a day.
This one has the bummer effect of the world ending. Because if it would be very interesting to have a machine like this that you only reset when you died. Whether you died in 2 hours or 20 years, you know, that was the only thing that reset it. But when you realize no matter what you do, you die in a blinding, but I guess that's really no different than, you know, I mean, Groundhog's Day, he lives 6 more hours until he goes to bed. But, you know, either way, you're waking up. Because in Map of Tiny Perfect Things, they never die, right?
I don't remember. Is it just resets at the end of the day?
I think so.
But they probably experimented with dying. Either at the end of the day or when they die, I think.
Oh, that's right. No, because he just timed it. Because he would jump off the roof to land. But I don't think he ever like jumped off the roof in the afternoon. He always jumped off the roof right before midnight. And then it would reset. So he kind of toyed with it, but he never actually died.
What if it was for like 60 days or 90 days? Would you do it? Would you repeat the same day?
Would you want to relive a day that's really... Like a day that you really had to master, a day where you couldn't just give up for the day and just lay in bed and drink Jack Daniels, aka Desmond's perfect day.
Coming to a theater near you. I like the idea of mastering something. It's just not too, I don't know if you want to repeat the same day more than 60 times.
Because you wake up with a start. I mean.
Not his day, that's for sure.
Yeah. Even if it was a tough day that I had to serve, if I had to dodge some death, I wouldn't want to have to wake up to a machete every morning. Just
yeah, you're constantly going through that much stress every morning for 230 days consecutively. That's tough on the nervous system. Well, I guess not the actual physical nervous system, just your mental health.
Yeah, that's why I quit drinking, because if this ever happens to me, I can't wake up with a hangover. I'd be...
Every morning, but do you have a hangover every day for 235 days?
Every morning, just, oh.
That's a rough way to start.
Ouch. It hurts so bad.
It's mildly interesting. Master some stuff. Maybe more in the Groundhog Day sort of way. Just learning piano.
It was entertaining.
Super entertaining, super fun. Yeah, watching him master this video game was super cool. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram at time_pop_pod. That is Time Pop Pod. time_pop_pod on Instagram. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please tell us what we should watch next. Send questions, comments, and continue sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're looking for something else to watch while you wait for the next excellent installment of Time Pop, you know what? I'm not going to give any recommendations this time. Listen to more Time Pop. Go back. We have a great library. I know you haven't listened to all of them. Watch a great time travel movie. Find the episode on Time Pop. Give it a great listen. And send us more questions and comments about those classic Time Pop episodes.
Interstellar. I didn't say this episode. I got to say it once an episode. That fit in there nicely.
Just keep watching Interstellar. Yeah, you guys keep recommending it. We'll keep watching it. If that's what you guys want... Well, this will be the all Interstellar all the time. Until our next wonderful Interstellar podcast, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Scott.
Bye.
Next time on Time Pop. So folks, speaking of all of those great recommendations, we're not going to take any of them this time because we are going to recommend that Scott gets his money worth out of his free month of Hulu. That's what we're going to do. We got Boss. We started off with a good one. I'm not going to lie to you. I was kind of worried about this one. I knew that I kind of liked it because, you know, it's a dumb action movie and it's a video game movie. And I'm really excited that you guys enjoyed this watch because I kind of saw it going the other way.
No, it was a fun flick. It's funny our reader last episode called it that we didn't have Hulu, which is why we hadn't done those films yet.
She called it.
Yeah, so now we got to go through all those Hulu films.
So should we give all of our Hulu movies to her? Should we thank her? Just call them her recommendations. I can't remember what her name is. I know she's from Oregon. Thank you, you wonderful Oregonian, for getting us on Hulu. We're going to continue this run next time on Time Pop. We are going to be watching and discussing 2067.
On Hulu.
On Hulu. We are going to be exclusively watching it on Hulu.
This show is sponsored by Hulu.
2067 came out in 2020, a future time travel movie. How excited are you?
So excited.
That never happens. It's a future travel. Out of all, like, what is 75, 80 episodes, there's like three, maybe?
Give or take. Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting, too. Looking at the cover art, there's going to be some futuristic city and some futuristic apocalypse-looking cities. So I don't know which 2067 we're going to be getting. The beautiful city or the rundown used-to-be city swamp.
Maybe both.
This is not rated, which means it's either rated G or rated X. Not rated could mean anything. This might be for kids, or it might be... Maybe, are you sure this is on Hulu? This is not on Pornhub?
That's 2069. That's the one on Pornhub. This is 2067. Different films.
Don't get it mistaken out there, folks. Watch 2067, directed by Seth Larney, starring... some people.
Yeah, I've kind of got a little bit low expectations for this one just because I feel like it might be
Australian.
Lower budget. Is it Australian?
Yeah.
It's a little bit lower budget. So my expectations are low-ish, but I'm still excited about future travel. Yay.
The short IMDb synopsis is always interesting. One man's journey to the future to save a dying world.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
All right, folks, join us next time for 2067. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We love you. I love you. Actually, I shouldn't speak for Scott and Ari. If you're listening right now, I love you.
Aww. Happy Valentine's, everybody.
Not Valentine's Day.
Well, maybe someone will listen to this on Valentine's next year. Time travel. You guys can deal with it.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.